Now, this is something which I've added now recently. 85 to 2003 trends dramatically impacted HRM. Now I come to HRM. Over the period of, say, little before 1985, say 65, 70 onwards, this HRM paradigm came in. What is HRM paradigm? I would like to you to make a note of this while I'm talking to you, that every human being has got four quadrants of his life, four quadrants. Draw a circle and cut it into four quadrants. One quadrant of your life is the intimate zone, intimate zone. The second quadrant is called as a spiritual zone, spiritual zone. Third quadrant is called as a work zone. And the fourth quadrant is called as a social zone, social zone. I'll repeat. First quadrant is intimate zone. Second quadrant is spiritual zone. Third quadrant is work zone. And the fourth quadrant is social zone. So an average human being has got these four zones in his life. First and foremost, he must be aware that all of them are impacting each other. If something good happens in one zone, it'll impact the other zone. If something bad happens in one zone, it'll impact the other zone. How do you know about this? There was a group of people, clinical psychologists, behavioral theorists, all these people started studying human beings. And then they realized that what happens at your home is going to affect you at your office. Today we all know it. If you have a problem at home early morning before leaving for office, you have some quarrel or some very bad behavior happening at home, all the way when you come, you carry the thing in you. And when you come to the office, your work will suffer. So what were we doing in a personal management? We said 9 to 5. What happens before 9 is none of my concern by default. But today they realize, hey, if a person is coming to the office and he's moody, he's not working properly, today we ask him, what exactly is the issue? The boss may not ask, but there's a specialist, there's somebody like an HR person who's into employee engagement, and he may ask what exactly, and people are free to say, I have this issue, I've got that issue, whatever. So there's a certain amount of expression that is allowed. One of the things which HRM believes in as a process, as compared to personal management, HRM is a 24/7 approach. 24/7, you are not only an employee, you're not in the work zone alone, but you're also in the social zone after that. What happens in the social zone affects the work. What happens in the intimate zone affects you. What is intimate zone? Intimate zone is your home from where you come. Spiritual zone is about you and your solitary journey towards your destiny. Nobody is there in that. Work zone is a place where you work. And social zone is outside the home and outside the work, where you're going for movies, you're going for picnics, you're socializing, going for weddings, etc. Now, any behavior, any interaction that happens in these three zones, they affect your workplace also. So companies started looking into that, and they said that a happy employee makes a happy homemaker, and a happy homemaker makes a happy employee. So this started expanding. They said, let us take care of the total individual. Let us take care of the total individual. Let's see that he is very happy. Okay. I have an example with me. Some years back it happened. One of the works manager of a very large company, every day morning used to come, he was very stressed out. In the first 1.5 hours in the morning, he used to be stressed out, and he was very much, you know, agitated and all. I'm talking about decades back, not now. So what happened? Nobody used to understand. And he's a very good, effective person. But in the morning, there was some problem which very few people noticed. And then once it so happened that there was a function in his house, and they invited people. When we went to his house, we came to know that he was living in a single room home with 5 members. He was living in a chawl, struggling. Now those days, the squatters and things, these things were not there. You work and you go home, and nobody bothered where you stay. His struggle was so bad that irritation used to, when he used to come to the office, he had a very lovely cabin. He's a works manager. When he used to come home, when he used to come to the office, you know, that particular irritation was still there. It used to wear out after only 1 hour or something. I noticed it. I was a part of that company. And then the company realized it. I said, no, this is something which we need to give him some support. So they offered him some easy loan. He brought a house very close to the factory. It was a production unit. And then, you know, his life became much more better. Now, this is what we are doing today. It's commonplace. You're getting housing loans and subsidized interest and so many things. That is a part of the whole HRM process. They take care of you 24/7 for all your well-being. So that when you come to the office, your productivity is high, you add value to yourself, you grow, and the company also grows. Right? Increase in diversity of labor force in terms of age, gender, race, ethnicity, equal employment opportunity, and affirmative action in managing diversity. What is diversity? When I joined my first company where I worked as an engineer, I'm a mechanical engineer. It's a Tata company I joined. We had hardly about 2% lady employees. Remaining 98% was only men. Even in the engineering course, there was only about, in my class, I had about 3 girls, that's all. The rest of us were boys. So there was no diversity. There was only one particular section of people who were doing things. Now, as ages progress, today we know that in a company, there are ladies and gents who are working together. In some companies, the ladies are more than the gents also. Not only this, after India has become global in working, we also find that we have different ethnic races working in the same place. In an IT company like Infosys or TCS, if you go to some locations, you'll find Americans there, Canadians are working there, Australians are there. So people from different backgrounds, age, gender, ethnic communities and different countries, they come together. Obviously, when they come together, we need to manage it properly. Those of you who are specializing in HRM, you'll come across a subject called International HRM. I think semester 3 or 4. And there you'll be understanding the importance of managing a diverse workforce. Diversity is very important. Because I am an Indian, I come from an Indian mindset, and you are an American who come from an American mindset. When we work together, our mindsets come in the way of our productivity. And there are many habits I have, many habits you have, these habits may clash. Now, how to manage it is an art, real art of employee engagement, right? Globalization on business and technological revolution, dramatic change in transportation, communication and labor market. This is something that has happened in the last about more than a decade. Focus on HRM as a strategic function. The most important thing that has happened in the recent past is HRM used to be seen as a support department. Somebody who was, you know, after everything is decided by the corporate board, they will go to the HRM and say, okay, this is what we want from it. This is the manpower we need. This all. And they were just treated like a, you know, as a support function. Service sector is now dominant as a business unit. There is more service sectors. The service sector is more in terms of percentage as compared to manufacturing sectors. And so there's a need for having HRM as a strategic function. Now, what is a strategic function? They have to sit with the other members of the board, the HR people, the HR director or the VP HR. And when they decide on some initiatives for the company, this much turnover we need to increase. Our CAGR should be so much in the next quarter or whatever. Now, the HRM has to closely go with that and say that for doing this, you need so much of manpower. So they have to work out their arithmetic of manpower. They have to also work out the cost of, you know, recruiting, selection and training people. Now, all this they have to put to the table and they can actually discuss and contest certain initiatives taken by the top management. Strategic action is all about that. The HR is an active, involved party in today's strategies of the company. It wasn't the case 20 years back, 20, 30 years back. When I started my career, it wasn't the case, but today it is. The HR people have got a say in certain matters and they will actually, because we are dealing with manpower, remember that. And if a company, a large company, IT company, they say our annual intake of manpower is 30,000 people in a year you want to take. And the 30,000 has got a huge wage bill. There's a cost involved. So many things are there. So the HR will take a realistic picture. They'll present it to the top management and they will negotiate. They'll say, we can't take 30, we can take only 20 with the available budget, or you increase my budget. Now, this type of a dialogue was not there 20, 30 years back. Today it is there. That is the role of a strategic function of an HRM, right? Now, 2000 to present, this is what I have added, okay? Advent of international and global HRM framework, practices and policies, business have multiple locations and multicultural factors affecting their work function and efficiency. I've already explained this. I just repeat it. Single location working has become multiple location. Multiple location has become multiple countries, multiple borders. So this is a new paradigm where we have to focus on a corporate HRM policy. But for each location, we may have to modify the policy to suit the local requirements. We call it globalization. Think global and act local. Globalization, thinking global at the corporate level and acting local at the region level. That's what I meant. Conscious shift from a central HRM function to a decentralized HR role involving corporate HR driving the various functional verticals with autonomy. I give an autonomy to a certain division or a certain region because they know what they want. So I don't have to sit in a country like, I don't have to sit in Mumbai and then say that these Mumbai's policies will be valid in, let's say, New York City. Because let the New York country manager or whoever is handling the particular location, let him be given the autonomy, the freedom to select based on his judgment and realistic judgment that this is what can be done in US. Now that flexibility, that autonomy is given today. Earlier it was not there. Everything was centralized in one country of origin, and everything that is happening there should be put all across the different locations in the world. That was absolutely incorrect in terms of fitment, in terms of comfort zone, in terms of effectiveness of output. So this has now become a commonplace now, right? Now, we talk about the difference between personnel management, industrial relations, HRM and HRD. I've already spoken about personnel management and HRM. Personnel management is a 24/7, is a 9-to-5 approach, and HRM is a 24/7 approach. What is industrial relation? Okay, let me read it. Personnel management is concerned with manpower planning, recruitment, selection, placement, transfer, promotion, training and development, layoffs, and retrenchment, remuneration, and incentives. Okay, it's much more than this. It's covering this, and it's also covering about the person within the company. I'm taking care of him. That's what it means. Industrial relations covers union management relations, joint consultation, collective bargaining, grievance, and disciplinary procedures. When does industrial relation come? The term comes when the company is having a union, unionized labor. Today in service sector in India, there is no union, most of the service sectors. But in production units, there is a union. And since there's a union, there is always a collective bargaining between union and management. So to see that that goes smoothly, we need to maintain what are called as industrial relations. There's a labor officer appointed who's coming from a law background, and he knows corporate law. He also knows the laws of the company, the policies, etc. And then he starts acting as a bridge between the union and the management, with an equitable understanding about both the sides. So he facilitates collective bargaining, grievance handling, disciplinary procedures, etc. Okay? Human resources management includes personnel management and industrial relations as well, the welfare aspect, which includes working conditions, amenities, etc. I have reworded it, but I give you the other picture. It is a 24/7 thing. HRM is also different from human resources development. HRD is different. Now, what is HRD? HRD is a function which is more concerned with training and development, career planning, development, and organization development. HRD is a part of HRM. It is about development of the people. HRM is a broader aspect into which one of the functions, one of the critical functions is HRD. Development of the person so that they start contributing better and better year after year. Okay? Personnel management is a forerunner. Personnel management is a forerunner to what is now properly termed as HRM. We need to know the difference between the two processes. I've already explained, but I'm running through the slide now. Personnel management could be imagined as a 9-to-5 approach of managing employees. HRM has evolved from PM and could be considered as a 24/7 approach in which the total employee is taken into account. Total employee, I put it inverted commas. The total employee, which I talked about, is explained here. The term total employee means the employee has other dimensions in his life other than only work. Other dimensions include home, work, social, and spiritual, which are interconnected. I spoke about home as an intimate zone, work as a work zone, social as a social zone, and spiritual as a spiritual zone. These four are interconnected. Correct? Now we come to the HRM process itself. This entire thing is the HR book. The book of 16 chapters which I've written is all these things one by one. So it's a snapshot. The HRM process, we can start from job analysis. Okay, it's right there on the top. Okay, and then we go to manpower planning. That leads to recruitment and selection. Then comes motivation. I've added something called employee engagement, which is not there in many books. And then training and development, employee welfare, performance appraisal, compensation administration, and separation. These are the broader principal processes in an HRM scenario, framework. Okay? I've given one line explanation for each of them, but they're all detailed as chapters in the future. Job analysis is collecting job-related information for designing the job. Whatever job you're doing, right now I'm doing the job of, you know, talking to you on the video. So this is analyzed. What should be spoken by the faculty? So how to define what should be spoken to make it effective? What should be spoken and what should make it effective? So a research is done on this. And then finally, I'm briefed about what I need to do. And on that basis, I have to, their job is designed for me. Manpower planning, forecasting future demand, supply, and right type of people in the right number. We'll come to this when we take the chapter. Recruitment selection. Recruitment involves attracting and obtaining applications from eligible job seekers, whereas selection comes after that. It involves choosing the right individuals for the right job from a pool of job applicants who have been shortlisted. Right? Motivation is to understand and influence an employee's behavior to increase his performance. Motivation is internal to the person. In motivation, we always say different strokes for different folks. One single motivational strategy doesn't work for everybody all the time. Giving money to everybody doesn't motivate all the time. Some people need something other than money so that they feel good inside. Motivation is all need-based. Need within a person, when it is fulfilled, that's the time the motivation is actually glowing. And the person will actually give more productivity and output. Employee engagement is an emotional engagement of the employee with the job function, work environment, organization itself, and the company brand. I've got a lot to talk about this when we come to the chapter. Okay? Training and development is imparting requisite skills, abilities, and knowledge to the employee. Employee welfare is all about employees benefiting through services like good working conditions, retirement benefits, etc. Performance appraisal is an objective assessment of the individual and his performance vis-a-vis individual objectives and benchmark. Okay, we'll discuss it when we come to the chapter. Compensation administration, what the employee receives in return for his contribution to his organization. Compensation administration involves administrative aspect of the compensation dispersal. Administrative part of it. How to structure it, what is the breakup, etc. All that, and the back office payroll creation, all that is part of it. Separation is the employee leaves the organization voluntarily or involuntary. Separation is about the retirement or the person living on his own. Okay, there are two things. One is in a separation, employer centric, the employer is terminating you for certain reasons. Or the employee centric, in which the employee is leaving for his or her own reasons. So it can be both. Again, we'll discuss it when the chapter comes to that. Factors affecting HRM. HRM is affected both internal and external environment, as I told you earlier. External environment is a political, legal, job market, competitors, customers, economic growth, diversity, globalization, technology, cultural, etc. What happens in the outside world is affecting my HRM process in my company. Political, when the political party changes, when the political ideology changes, it will also change the economic model of the country. Economics is connected with business, commerce, etc. The income to the land and the expenses of the land will give you what is called the GDP, gross domestic product. A political system impacts how many people are going to be employed this year, pan India, and how many people will be employed next year, etc. When the political climate changes, that might also change. If the political climate is saying nothing doing, we have to put a cap on recruitment, then it will become a part of the national policy. So political matters. Okay, you must know the correlation. Legal part of the whole thing. The law of the land will decide what is to be done and what is not to be done. The law of the land might say that, look, you must see to it that every employee working in your company is a paid employee with the payrolls of the company. Then it affects your HRM. You have to see to it that you don't take contract labor. Okay? Job market is very, very volatile and tricky. Job market means out there are people who are seeking jobs. They can be freshers. They can be already people who are having work. They are already working and they want to go for upgradation. So there's a job market out there. But over and above that, we must remember something. There are what is called as job market cycles. In certain parts of the year, the job market is full of people who want jobs. In certain other parts of the year, the job market is having less number of people who want jobs. Now, this is an important indicator to know when to hire people, what to pay them, and how to ensure that they get the best of people. So this job market affects in a very big way. Competitors, they do affect us. Customers, economic growth, diversity, globalization, technology, all this are covering, all this affect you, right? I've explained one or two because you can trigger yourself and figure out how the others are also affecting, right? Internal environment of the company, within the company, that affects many things. Company strategy, if the company says nothing doing, no recruitment this year, HRM is affected. The company says we are expanding in a new city, again, we need to go for more people. So company strategy and policies, unions, if it's a unionized company, a production unit. Organization culture. Organization culture means the company has got certain ways of thinking. Every organization got a culture. What we call it is sanskar in homes. Right? The working climate. Culture is at the top, climate is at the bottom. At the operational level, we are getting things done. We don't always follow all the rules that are set up at the top. Do you agree? So this culture and climate both impact the internal environment. So factors affecting HRM, all this is given here. It's given in a point form. Okay, political, legal, job market, competitors, customers, economic growth, diversity, globalization, technology, cultural factors. And this again has been put in a bullet point form. Internal environment, company strategy, unions, organization culture, and working climate. Future of HRM, future as of today. This future will change. Okay. Strategic HRM, need for linking organization strategy with HRM processes. There's a very, very strong need. Organization got strategies 2 years from now, 3 years from now. We are going to be doing this. We are going to diversify. We are going for new technology. Now, that has to be linked with HRM parallelly at the same time. In many companies, they first create a strategy and HRM is brought in later. No. Combination of strategy and HRM, SHRM, strategic HRM is needed for factors like globalization, technological changes, diversity in human resources, and highly competitive environment. See, when you're having a globalized working, you know, dealing with pan countries, different countries, HRM plays a major role in trying to hire people, train them properly, culturally give them an orientation. If you're working in India, for example, and you're going to be placed in, let's say, a place like Africa, and then you're going to be staying there for a year or two maybe. So you must be culturally trained into that. So all those things are a part of HRM's responsibility. And they have to be strategically aligned. One fine morning, the top management cannot say, these employees are going to Africa, train them, without even knowing the context. To ensure the context of the company is clear, the HRM has to become a part of their corporate strategy, in short. In SHRM, HR is involved with the top management of the organization in strategies and policies. Okay? SHRM helps in improving organization performance, employee performance, enhancing customer satisfaction, driving innovation, providing competitive advantage, etc. Taking it further, HRM treats people as organization resource that can be made, drawn, and used to accomplish tasks. Human resources can be developed. When a person joins an organization, he's got X number of skills. After 1 year, his X number of skills becomes, it multiplies. So he adds value. And that valuation automatically goes to the company. Okay? So that's why they are treated as acquired resources. Under HCM, human capital management is what we are discussing now. Human capital management, we are looking at everybody as a capital. Capital means when I employ capital, I get something in return. It's not just profits. It's not just revenue. I also get intellectual capital in return. If I hire a very brilliant, innovative mind in my company, my human capital grows. Human capital grows in my company. So I must learn to manage that particular intelligent person. It's not by giving him money. He must give him the space. I'm taking this video shoot right now. I've traveled from home to this place which is a little far away. Coming to this place is a big challenge. Now, I'll give an example. Human capital management, this is a thing which is going to be heard by hundreds and thousands of students. Now, when I come here, this human capital of, you know, putting this whole thing in a proper order, maintaining my composure, ensuring that the flow is proper, all this requires a certain amount of preparation, right? Now, that has to be properly understood, and then the environment has to be created accordingly. I'm sure all of you know about what I'm talking, right? Under HCM, employees are treated with a sense of investing in their own capital. So when you are given an HCM outlook, when I look at you as a human capital, then I'm giving you this particular sense of invest. You start saying that, let me invest into my own skills, abilities and competences and give out the best of the organization, which is what many of us do. In HCM, organizations do not own the human capital, but they can rent it from the employees. It's like outsourcing, or it's something like a retaining people. Somebody is an expert in some area, so you call him for that particular work and you use his expertise, human capital management. This can be internal as well as external, right? Human capital, it should be human capital, not HRM, it should be HCM. It entails value creation and value addition of the employees. It creates value in me. The more and more I take these video shoots, I develop a skill. It's a value addition for me. It's a value addition for the institute also for whom I'm doing, right? Addition for the employees as well as for the company or for the organization. HCM integrates people and business strategies, thus driving and accelerating business plans. It makes things very, very smooth. See, when you give a person the importance, the genuine importance of looking at himself as a capital, whether it's a driver, whether it's a peon, whether it's a person who's serving tea, look at him as a capital. Then he starts investing himself. The person who serves the tea will come well-dressed. He'll start feeling that sense of self-esteem. What HCM does is HCM enhances one's self-esteem. As a behavioral trainer, I can tell you safely that have an HCM in your company. It'll enhance the self-esteem of everybody. It'll treat people with their own self-esteem, and they will give out the best output. HCM works best in a people-centric organization. The company has to be people-centric. There's people-centric and profit-centric. Profit is important, but people should drive the profits. Profits cannot manage people all the time, right? Summary, finally we come to the one but last, maybe the last slide. HRM is a management function that helps an organization to manage its human resources. HR processes comprise manpower planning, job analysis, recruitment selection, motivation techniques, training and development, employee welfare, performance appraisal, compensation, administration and separation. All the processes which I showed you in the depiction. HRM is an organization is affected by various factors in the external environment and internal environment. Okay, HRM in the near future will be replaced by a strategic HRM, and in the distant future, it may be soon replaced by HCM. In fact, many companies have started practicing HCM, right? So with this, I'm concluding this particular module. I'm sure this module has been evaluated to you, and look forward to seeing you in the next chapter number 2. Thank you very much, friends.